Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm China. Today is the third day of August. Welcome. So glad to be here with you today. I'm excited to be in the Word of the Lord and excited to read and to, digest the Word of the Lord and let it nourish our bodies. Just as I would get excited for a meal, I'm excited to read the Word of the Lord today. Today we are in the book of 2 Chronicles with chapters 32 through 33. This week we are in the New International Version. After all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified cities, thinking to conquer them for himself. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that he intended to wage war against Jerusalem, he consulted with his officials and military staff about blocking off the water from the springs outside the city, and they helped him. They gathered a large group of people who blocked all the springs and the stream that flowed through the land. "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find plenty of water?" they said. Then he worked hard repairing all the broken sections of the wall and building towers on it. He built another wall outside that one and reinforced the terraces of the city of David. He also made large numbers of weapons and shields. He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square at the city gate and encouraged them with these words: "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is a greater power with us than with them. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. Later, when Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and all his forces were laying siege to Lachish, he sent his officers to Jerusalem with this message for Hezekiah, king of Judah, and for all the people of Judah who were there. This is what Sennacherib, king of Assyria, says: "On what are you basing your confidence that you remain in Jerusalem under siege?" When Hezekiah says, "The Lord our God will save us from the hand of the king of Assyria," he is misleading you to let you die of hunger and thirst. Did not Hezekiah himself remove this God's high places and altars, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, "You must worship before one altar and burn sacrifices on it"? Do you not know that what I and my predecessors have done to all the peoples of the other lands? Were the gods of those nations ever able to deliver their land from my hand? Who of all the gods of these nations that my predecessors destroyed has been able to save his people from me? How then can your God deliver you from my hand? Now do not let Hezekiah deceive you and mislead you like this. Do not believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom has been able to deliver his people from my hand or the hand of my predecessors. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand? Sennacherib's officers spoke further against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. The king also wrote letters ridiculing the Lord, the God of Israel, and saying this against him: "Just as the gods of the peoples of the other lands did not rescue their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah will not rescue his people from my hand." Then they called out in Hebrew to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall, to terrify them and make them afraid in order to capture the city. They spoke about the God of Jerusalem as they did about the gods of the other peoples of the world, the work of human hands. King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, cried out in prayer to heaven about this. And the Lord sent an angel who annihilated all the fighting men and the commanders and officers in the camp of the Assyrian king. So he withdrew to his own land in disgrace. And when he went into the temple of his God, some of his sons, his own flesh and blood, cut him down with the sword. So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others. He took care of them on every side. Many brought offerings to Jerusalem for the Lord and valuable gifts for Hezekiah, king of Judah. From then on, he was highly regarded by all the nations. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. he prayed to the Lord, who answered him and gave him a miraculous sign. But Hezekiah's heart was proud, and he did not respond to the kindness shown to him. Therefore, the Lord's wrath was on him and on Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah repented of the pride of his heart, as did the people of Jerusalem. Therefore, the Lord's wrath did not come on them during the days of Hezekiah. Hezekiah had very great wealth and honor, and he made treasuries for his silver and gold and for his precious stones, spices, shields, and all kinds of valuables. He also made buildings to store the harvest of grain, new wine and olive oil, and he made stalls for various kinds of cattle and pens for the flocks. He built villages and acquired great numbers of flocks and herds, for God had given him very great riches. It was Hezekiah who blocked the upper outlet of the Gihon spring and channeled the water down to the west side of the city of David. He succeeded in everything he undertook. But when envoys were sent by the rulers of Babylon to ask him about the miraculous sign that had occurred in the land, God left him to test him and to know everything that was in his heart. The other events of Hezekiah's reign and his acts of devotion are written in the vision of the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Hezekiah rested with his ancestors and was buried on the hill where the tombs of David's descendants are. All Judah and the people of Jerusalem honored him when he died, and Manasseh his son succeeded him as king. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had demolished. He also erected altars to the Baals and made Asherah poles. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshipped them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." In both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. He sacrificed his children in the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, practiced divination and witchcraft, sought omens and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. He took the image he had made and put it in God's temple, of which God had said to David and to his son Solomon, "In this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. I will not again make the feet of the Israelites leave the land I assigned to your ancestors, if only they will be careful to do everything I commanded them concerning all the laws, decrees, and regulations given through Moses." But Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray, so they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. Afterward, he rebuilt the outer wall of the city of David, west of the Gihon spring in the valley, as far as the entrance of the fish gate and encircling the hill of Ophel. He also made it much higher. He stationed military commanders in all the fortified cities in Judah. He got rid of the foreign gods and removed the image from the temple of the Lord, as well as all the altars he had built on the temple hill and in Jerusalem, and he threw them out of the city. Then he restored the altar of the Lord and sacrificed fellowship offerings and thank offerings on it, and told Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. The people, however, continued to sacrifice at the high places, but only to the Lord their God. The other events of Manasseh's reign, including his prayer to his God and the words the seers spoke to him in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, are written in the annals of the kings of Israel. His prayer and how God was moved by his entreaty, as well as all his sins and unfaithfulness, and the sites where he built the high places, and set up Asherah poles and idols before he humbled himself. All these are written in the records of the seers. Manasseh rested with his ancestors and was buried in his palace, and Amon his son succeeded him as king. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 2 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. Amon worshipped and offered sacrifices to all the idols Manasseh had made. But unlike his father Manasseh, he did not humble himself before the Lord. Amon increased his guilt. Amon's officials conspired against him and assassinated him in his palace. Then the people of the land killed all who had plotted against King Amon, and they made Josiah his son king in his place. You know what's crazy to me is that we read about several different generations here. We start with King Hezekiah, then we go to Manasseh, and then we go to Manasseh's son Amon, and then we're going to pick up with Josiah. And so I'm like, in my brain, shouldn't we pick somebody else, like from a different family line? Right? Like, wouldn't that make sense? Hey, let's draw straws. Clearly this family, whatever is going on, like they got some stuff happening. And like, maybe let's look for a different family who doesn't have four generations of wishy-washy people who are doing evil, right? Like, wouldn't that make sense? But if we go all the way back to where we have come from and the beginning of this year, we see the Lord's promises, we see his faithfulness, and we see a steady God who has kept his word, has kept his promise, even in the midst of so much betrayal and so much hurt and so much evil and wickedness. And, you know, I've only been on this earth for 24 years. I have not encountered a deep amount of betrayal. I have not encountered a deep amount of, or even like a lengthy or consistent amount of hurt. Maybe like on, yes, obviously on some scales, but not, I've never made a promise and then felt like I just keep getting dragged. And that would be like if I was in a marriage. I'm trying to like, my brain is trying to make sense of this, like trying to make it a metaphor so that we could understand this. I was in a marriage and I was like, you know, I made this vow, I promised. And my spouse, like as we're using a hypothetical spouse, was consistently betraying me, consistently choosing everyone else and anyone else but me. But I had said, I made my promise. I'm going to be a person of my word. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to show you grace. I'm going to show you mercy. I feel like my friends and even maybe a therapist would say, China, like, you're in an abusive relationship. I think it's time we get out. Like, let's get you some support groups. Let's get you into a recovery group, a recovering home. Like, you need to get out of this, right? And we're reading this. So, like, if we take it in that grand of scale, some of you can relate to that. And I'm like, that's really difficult and really tricky and really awful. And this is what we're reading about for 7-8 months now of people choosing everything but the Lord, being in relationship with him and then choosing not to be, coming back and saying, I'm going to draw a line in the sand just for their descendants to rebuild everything that they were playing off of and everything that they had then destroyed. There's just so much wickedness, so much grief, so much hurt. And I'm like, Lord, I am speechless. I am speechless in how you have not completely wiped us off the earth, that you are a gracious and loving God, that you care for us when there has been every opportunity for you to not. And, you know, something that we have read a little bit ago was that the Lord is waiting and anxiously ready to give us, I don't know if it said anxiously, just ready to give us and ready to show us grace and mercy. And that kind of love to me just does not make sense. Like, that type of unconditional love, wow, is that rich? Is that deep? Is that vast? And it's for us, and is extended to us. And also, we have an enemy who wants to try to blur the lines of that and say, yeah, but you're not for you. Man, not this time. Man, you just keep screwing up. Yep, that's not how his love works. Too complicated. He doesn't even know what all you've done. He can never forgive you. You know, whatever things sound like, that's not the Lord. That's the enemy's voice, who knows how, he has to know the depths of the Lord's love. He has to somewhat understand, because he's trying to do everything he can to keep us from it. And I don't know about you, but the more that I read the word of the Lord, the more that I understand slowly, day by day, who he is and how vast his love is for us, and how much my brain is like spinning, trying to understand it, and just kind of almost like this image of a child spinning around and then just like crashing and sitting on the floor and being like, okay, I don't have to understand. I don't have to keep spinning. I'm just gonna sit and I'm just going to enjoy the complexity and also the simplicity. I don't have to overthink it. I just get to receive it. And I don't even fully know what that means or how I get that, but, and it has nothing to do with us. It's not because we're so great or so broken. It's because of who he is. And there's just so much to it. And at the same time, I feel like who the Lord is isn't complicated, and he's not a Rubik's Cube puzzle that, I mean, I know some people can put those together really quickly, but also he's not one that we could just be like, oh man, I don't get this. It's too complicated. It's too difficult. I think we overcomplicate him. And also just understanding that the enemy really doesn't want us to get it. He doesn't want us to live in freedom and in grace and in mercy and understand that the word of the Lord is true and it's pure and it's good. And so, Father, I pray that your word would fall on good soil, that our hearts would be tilled every single day to receive your truth, and that we would know that you are for us, you love us, you have us in the palm of your hand, and you see us. And Lord, I just pray that we would humble ourselves before you, that we would ask for your forgiveness daily, that we would ask others around us for forgiveness of our shortcomings, that we would forgive ourselves for the areas that we have either hurt ourselves or had some hurts or self-sabotage, whatever it looks like. Lord, I pray that we would be able to extend the grace and mercy that you give us to ourselves and to others around us, and that we may look more like you. And Father, I just thank you for your word. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is our website. That's the place of connection. It's where you can see what's happening here in the community, how to get connected and stay connected. So be sure to check that out. If you have prayer requests and things that we as a community can come alongside of you and encourage you and pray for you, you can do so at 800-583-2164. If you listen through the app, you can record your prayer requests in through there, and those get sent in and played at the end of every day's podcast. And that is all for today. I'm China. I love you, and I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, DABCers. This is Lori from Illinois. Jill, I just wanted to say thank you so much for being so open and honest with us. And we don't expect you to be any other way. And I think sometimes as pastors' wives, you know, people think they don't have problems or they have to be perfect and they can't be real. Kind of like people thinking doctors can't be sick. And I want to lift you up in prayer. Jesus, I just pray today that you would be with Jill, Lord, and we know that you are. Lord, you know the emotions she's going through, the pain she feels. And Lord, just comfort her right where she is, and give her the strength of your word and your love, Lord, that she is loved by you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Keep it up. We love you, Jill, and we love you, China, and love this ministry. You're doing a great job. God bless you all.
Hey, my DABC family. This is Amanda from Colorado. I was just calling because I wanted to thank the woman from Canada. I'm sorry, I forget your name, for praying for my mom after her knee surgery. She was in lots of pain. And I really appreciate that. I'd like to ask you to continue praying for her. Her knee pain has subsided a lot, but she now has a whole body bacterial infection, and so she's on medication for that and in pain now because of that. So please continue to pray for her. I'd also like you to pray for my husband. He did end up losing his job, so I ask that you pray for him in his job search. He's had several phone interviews, and tomorrow will be his first in-person interview. We're really hoping for a good, exciting new position for him. He's been on shift work for years, so he's spent lots of time away from our family, and it would be great to have him around more often. And so please pray to give him strength. It's been hard on him. It's been hard on our family. The stressors of money and, you know, arguments. We know we're going to get through this by the grace of God. He's always there. Pray for my children. My oldest has anxiety, and she's having a hard time. She's getting ready to go into high school. My middle daughter's best friend just moved out of state, and so she's having a tough time. And my son, he was diagnosed with autism last year, and we're just trying to find him therapists. So I thank you all. Love you all. Have a wonderful day. God bless.
This is Bobby calling in from Richmond, Virginia, to pray for baby Promise and her mother. Dear God, your word tells us you know us before you formed us in the womb. You know baby Promise. You know the plans for this beautiful child. Your plans are perfect and you are sovereign. Lord, I ask that you be with baby Promise's mother. May she have peace during this time. Ease any fear, anxieties, anything she may have. Lord, I ask for a viable pregnancy and a smooth delivery. May this child always be a living testimony of how great you are. In your mighty name, amen.
Hi, DABC family. I'm calling today for a prayer request from Simone from Houston. She was calling in because her adopted niece daughter is pregnant with baby Promise, and she went to the doctor, and they had to sew up her uterus. And today I'm just coming alongside you, Simone, and I'm praying for baby Promise. And I also just want to reassure you that this is the song that's been going in my head all day and night, is standing on the promises of God. And so I'm also standing on a promise from God for my grandbaby. My son called me about 4 days ago and told me that I was going to be a first-time grandma. My son and his girlfriend have been together for 3 years. They're not married. They're both about to turn 20. They are young, but there was a little question. My son would love to have the baby, and so would his girlfriend, but they are scared, and the daughter is, I think, the girlfriend's afraid to tell her family, and abortion was mentioned, and so I'm praying against abortion for my grandbaby, and I've named my grandbaby Baby Love. So Baby Promise and Baby Love are going to come into this world because God has a plan for their life. And I'm just joining with you, Simone from Houston, and can't wait till we have our praise report when we're holding our little grandbabies. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.